Now, there are two different activities you're going to do today. So when you get done with one, don't forget the other. I've had people ready to leave, and then they realize that they didn't do the second activity. We're doing molecular modeling, so we're playing with these kits. And that you don't have to. You can do these in any order. You don't have to start with molecular modeling, but most students do. But we're also doing solvent properties, which is why you have these trays sitting out with various things on them. Okay, don't forget about the solvent properties part. It doesn't take nearly as long. It only takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes if you work efficiently. But the molecular modeling part is the only part I'm going to talk about, because the solvent properties one is easy to follow. There's no, if you don't understand, call me over, but you will understand. So I'm not even going to talk about it. Just follow the instructions for that. Molecular modeling, on the other hand, I want to say a few things about before we start. So actually take out the contents of your kits, but don't mix up box to box. Make sure you put stuff back where it came from. Not only the box, but also the bags within the box. But go ahead and take stuff out to look at it for a second while I'm speaking. And then once I let you loose, it's best to work in pairs at least, so that you can talk things out to figure things out. Two or three or whatever. But not alone, it'll take longer. So we're making ball and stick models of what are the things that we are building. What are they? Well, I just mean more generally. Molecules, right. Why do you know that they're molecules? What makes them molecules? What did you say? Everyone hear that? Not even close, because not you guys aren't as speaking as loudly as I am. What you need to do.
More than one element?
That's not what makes it a molecule. For instance, sodium and chlorine are different elements, but they don't form a molecule, right? They form a compound, but it's not a molecule. Why not? Yes, well, in the case of sodium and chlorine, it's not covalent, it's ionic. And that's why they're not molecules. But you're making molecules today, and there's a couple reasons that's true. One is that the bonds you're going to be forming are covalent bonds, which is what defines them as molecules. But why else do you know that they're molecules? What sorts of things form molecules? Atoms, but that's not specific enough, because sodium atom and a chlorine atom are atoms, and they don't form molecules. What specific types of atoms make up molecules?
Nonmetals.
Right. Any given covalent bond is a bond between a metal and a nonmetal. It can be two of the same nonmetal, or it can be different nonmetals. But we're talking about either hydrogen, which is, remember, a nonmetal by itself on the periodic table, and then all of that upper right corner. So you have balls here representing what? What does each individual wooden sphere represent? One atom, yes. Or you could think of it just as the atomic nucleus, but either way, it's an atom. And how is it that you know that you have different kinds of atoms in your kit? They are different colors, and they're probably labeled with their colors. But you could be doing this at home, making these, and be out of paint. If these didn't have any color, or if you're just totally colorblind, you could still tell that you have different kinds of atoms here. Why? What else besides the color is different from ball to ball? Not the size, actually. I mean, there's probably slight differences, but there's not really supposed to be a size difference. I shouldn't say there's not supposed to be, because there really are size differences in atoms. But that's not really reflected in the model. Yes, the amount of holes differs from color to color. In other words, from atom category to atom category. Now, what chemical property does the number of holes represent? The amount of bonds it's going to form, and therefore what chemical property? Couldn't hear you. No, that's how greedily it's grabbing for the electrons. What does the number of bonds tell you? He correctly said it's the number of bonds that atom is going to form, but that's otherwise known as what? The valence. Each atom's valence is its number of holes. Right? And that's why you wouldn't have to have a key or a certain color to know which one's oxygen, which one is oxygen. Regardless of color, which one is oxygen in any set. Yes, the one that has two holes, because the valence of oxygen is two. So the hydrogens are the ones with one hole. Nitrogen has three holes. Oxygen has two holes. And carbon is tetravalent, therefore it has four holes. Okay? Notice that those are all nonmetals. So the bonds we're going to be forming are covalent bonds, and the complete set, once you make the model, is a molecule. Officially a molecule because it's covalent bonds. All right, now, speaking of the bonds, what is representing bonds? Spring and wood both represent bonds individually. But you never use a spring in isolation. You use a single stick to represent a single covalent bond. What do you use to represent a double covalent bond? No, I just told you that you never use a spring in isolation. No, you can't use wood for double bonds. To make a double bond, you need to use two springs. Each spring counts as a bond, right? But a pair of springs represents one double bond, which counts as two bonds. That's how many electrons? Four in a double bond. Each single bond is a pair of electrons shared, right? So why do we use springs? Because the holes are cut at angles corresponding to the corners of the tetrahedron. And you can't use sticks for a double bond to hook two atoms together with holes at angles like this. The sticks don't bend, okay? So that's why you don't use one spring. That would just be a single bond. You use a stick. You use two springs because they can bend. Okay. With that out of the way, following the instructions that hopefully this page numbering is the same as your manual. Everyone should have a manual, by the way, by now. Does yours molecular modeling procedure start on 57? Okay, good. So the first part of that is pretty straightforward. Call me over if you need it, but talk it out. Eventually, you're going to make a little bit more complex molecules, and you'll get to page 61, which is really two-part. You're going to make glucose in its linear form first. That's the top of the page. You're going to build the one that's on the upper right-hand corner. That's pretty straightforward, too. Once you get to that point, though, then call me over, and I'll tell you how to turn that into the ringed form, which is a little bit tricky, but I'll explain it individually to each group. All right? And that is pretty much the modeling exercise, so that's all I'm talking about. Just remember, right, when you're done with that, do the solvent property stuff, and then you're free to go. after you clean up, of course.